Glorious day. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible for us. We serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He is more than enough, my friend. He is more than enough. He is able to do the impossible. For what man says is impossible, God says it is possible. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I say, but God. Hallelujah. Well, it's Tuesday morning, which has transformed into Raise a Hallelujah morning. I love it. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
How can I be doing anything but good?
Amen.
So you want to hear all the good stuff or the bad stuff?
Oh, I'll take the good stuff this morning.
That's good.
As far as I can see, the Lord has not moved.
Amen. Amen. Miss Karen, how are you?
I'm doing the same. He's walking right beside me.
Amen.
In front of me, behind me, all around me.
He all around me. Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
It's that word I love in the Bible where it talks about the Lord has compassed you about. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
He's compassed you about.
Amen. Well, welcome in on this April the 29th, 2025. We are enjoying a beautiful morning outside. It's gorgeous. Got some storms rolling in later on today for the weather. Scattered storms, technically scattered severe storms throughout the afternoon is what they're calling for. It's going to be beautiful, though. Besides that, 77. Beautiful. That's a right temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's a right temperature right there. Tomorrow's going to be 80 with storms, and Thursday, 79 with storms. Appreciate your all's prayers going into Friday. We'll be leaving out Friday morning.
Right.
Todd Mingus is going to have mercy on us and wake up at 1:30 to drive us at the airport. So big thank you to Todd Mingus right there.
Right, right.
Appreciate him so much.
Now, how long are you going to be gone this time?
Just about a week. Just a shy of a week. So we're very excited about, though.
I know Deanna's got 2 weeks crammed into that one.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You say you're gone for 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks worth of work down there.
Yeah.
But it's great. I talked to her briefly yesterday, but we are very much excited for it. And so just believe in God for great things for this trip. So
amen.
Anybody that will pray and believe with us, please do. So that's Friday morning. We'll be in Puerto Rico. We're leaving early. Mm-hmm. It's going to work out well, though, because we almost get a day back. So it's really early in the morning, and you're leaving early, but you're getting down there so early, you're almost getting like a day that you usually wouldn't have. Because a lot of times on trips, it's like one day to travel down and one day to travel home, and you're losing it. And we've pretty much arranged both days to where even the day we're leaving, we'll still have an opportunity to do some stuff in the
That's
morning.
Right.
So it's good. I appreciate that a lot. So got some other announcements that I have on my agenda to get out for everybody that's got us in, if it would load. May 17th, Art in the Park, fine crafts, fine art, fine music, free parking and admission, food vendors, student art competitions, and tiny art show. Amen. May the 17th there at the City Park in Litchfield, Kentucky. Then the Bethel Ladies Meeting, June 13th, is on the schedule. So go ahead and mark that date off for you. And then you can go ahead and get the date for I'll get a lot more information coming soon, but on June the 7th, we'll be having the Pentecost celebration there at New Life with Miss Renee. I get the great honor of preaching that service.
So it is an honor.
Yeah, it's a great honor. And so excited for that. June the 7th, it's a Saturday night. And so Pentecost celebration. Be Pentecost weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I started early.
You start? No, you can start whenever you want. I was just saying, I thought you was going to preach. So I was going, come on.
I was getting ready to say something, but I'm trying to hold it. You go ahead.
Well, that's all my announcements. I'm finito. I'm finished.
Benito.
I hope that's what it means.
I'm not going to correct you.
I don't know. I just repeated.
I heard on Dora the Explorer one time, I think it meant finished. It's like in Puerto Rico one time, and I called that. I said, "There's a gallo," and she says, "You just called the gallo rooster." I said, "Well."
When I went to Guatemala on my first mission trip, my big one. And the pastor, he had worked on his Spanish so much. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting in a restaurant, and he orders us breakfast with orange juice. And he asked for 8 glasses of orange juice. Everybody in the back was just laughing because he ordered 8 pitchers of orange juice. We had no idea. We were just laughing.
Did you get the 8 pitchers?
No.
Because that's a lot of orange juice.
They covered us.
Those crazy Americans.
Yeah, we was talking about that yesterday whenever Josh Durkee sang that one song. Was supposed to be saying in Swahili, "Praise God," and he's actually saying, he sang a home song saying, "Praise the alligator."
That's great.
Yeah. You never know. You never know. My favorite thing is there was a guy at a restaurant down there where he was eating one time, and he's just talking away, and I'm just saying "see" at the right time. And then he really starts to get serious, and then he realizes, I don't understand anything that he just said for the last 3 or 4 minutes. And I was like, "Por quito es español." That's about all I know. I speak very little English, Spanish, sir. But Deanna had mercy on me and came over and interpreted me. But I just learned to smile. And, mm-hmm. and I guess at this point, I can start to pick up what they're saying
right.
to me. Like, I can't, like, respond back. But now at this point, I can actually kind of decipher, like, okay, this is, I feel like that's probably what they're telling me. So, and then, of course, I'm picking up on the keywords enough. The good thing about the Spanish language is the American language could have, like, English can have, like, 6 mm-hmm. words for one.
Right.
Whereas the Spanish language seems to be a little less complex. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the words are a little bit more definite. So, mm-hmm. there's a lot of words used a lot. Very repetitively.
Yeah, for different things. In yeah. our language, it's like 10 different things. They use one word for all 10 mm-hmm. of them. Yeah.
So it's a little different, but I feel like it's probably, if you learned it, probably more simple. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing, we've said this before, and I've talked to Deanna and Alonzo about this, is like they talk with such emotion down there. And this one time I thought Alonzo and this other guy was arguing, and I said, "Are you okay, Alonzo?" He goes, "Oh, we great." He said, "He's so nice." I said, "I thought I was going to."
It looks like an argument.
He said, "He was such a nice guy." And I was like, "It doesn't seem like it." But it's
fun. We were taught to not raise our voices.
Yeah, that's a whole different. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love the excitement.
I do too.
I love their passion. I have passion. Mm-hmm. So I kind of gravitate toward those people who have great passion.
Yeah.
And we should have been born in Mexico.
Probably. Probably.
Yep. I did connect with Deanna immediately. I mean, it didn't even take
no time.
Mm-mm. Because we had the same heart for the Lord.
Mm. Absolutely.
We just didn't have the same language. But, you know, I found as I did some out of the country things, I didn't have to know the language.
That's right.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I carried a dictionary and tried my best to say a few things here and there, but it didn't take any kind of time to know this person's born again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people's been using these headphones thing that you put in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it basically translates.
Y'all got a whole lot better generation than we did.
Yes, really.
I don't have one of those. I just have Deanna. So
that's having it there.
I know.
That's having it.
Because she'll speak with the emotion.
Yeah. Oh, I love. I remember I was preaching at, we usually are preaching quite a bit down there when we're there. Deanna usually has us somewhere every night. But there was one church we was at, and he was just fired up. I mean, the atmosphere was fired up with the Holy Ghost, and these people were fired up. Like, I mean, you were having to preach. You were having to out-preach the crowd. Like, it was like, it was like one of those
awesome.
Moments.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it actually happened to me,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
I look over, and Deanna's translated for me a lot at this point. And so we're used to each other. And that night, though, boy, she was preaching. I was like, she was right in there with me. And I was like, "Go, Deanna. I'm going to just back off. Yeah. I'm going to let y'all do your own thing here."
Uh-huh.
I said, it was amazing that night. We're actually preaching there Sunday morning, that same church. We're going back and preaching there. And Joe Taylor's going to preach at.
Wow,
he's
that's
staying,
great.
Like, so Deanna and Lonzo, the church they pastor, he's going to stay with Lonzo and preach there with Lonzo. And then me and Deanna's going, I think, going on to the other church, if I understand right. So,
well, that, if Alonzo interprets for Joe,
it's going to be incredible.
They're going to think he's a fiery preacher.
He's going to Alonzo. Right. I wonder if he does. The thing we always loved about Alonzo is his hand motions when he talks in English, like. You know, so we're hoping he does that when he translates. Yeah, you know,
I think he will.
You talk about the crowd being so excited that they actually was preaching with him. One of the mission trips I was on was in Mexico, this church, and they really didn't invite the women to speak much at this particular place. But this day, for whatever reason, they said I could. Okay, so I was speaking on the Holy Spirit. I had an interpreter, and I'm just, you know, really there. I'm engaged, and all of a sudden, the interpreter's not saying anything. And I look over at him, and he doesn't know how to interpret what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, the crowd, one after another, started popping up, being the interpreter of it all. Mm-hmm. Because they were with me, and they understood what I was saying, and they began to preach to me.
That's right.
It was so cool. I mean, it was.
Yeah, we've had encounters like that too. And now I will say the most incredible encounter, interpreter-wise, like I've ever, like just the experience of it was breathtaking, really, was we was in the Congo preaching, and this guy who, I was like a church full, I mean, it was overflowing that day, and it was just, the Spirit of God was pouring out. Brother Ron had been preaching, and then it was one of those days, like, we had preached, like, two times each in one day,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, we was there all day, and this guy, he was interpreting. But he was a preacher. Like, you could just tell the way he was interpreting. And this one time during the sermon, he just takes off in French. Like, he starts to sing a song in French in the midst of the sermon. Like, the Holy Spirit starts to move. And you're just like, I'm done. Like, I'm undone at this point. Like,
that's
I'm
right.
undone.
That's
like,
right.
It was just, I mean, you did. It was just the Holy Spirit took over. And it was amazing.
I love those out-of-the-box things. Mm-hmm. That is, and you're right. When I'm listening to somebody, I'm usually going to watch the interpreter.
Right.
Because he's going to get fired up about what you just said. It is so exciting.
It's one of those moments of collected chaos. I mean, it's a chaotic thing, but it's so controlled. It's so right. It's so in order.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of moment.
Absolutely.
I long for those. I long for those in our church services.
That's
today.
Right.
They mm-hmm. need. We need to see the Spirit of God have his way again mm-hmm. in a lot of places. So
amen.
That, we can, you know, be undone.
Right.
Amen.
Undone. To be put back
That's
together
right.
again.
That's yeah. right.
Well, we find ourselves in Mark chapter 1.
Okay.
Mark chapter 1.
We're finding ourselves in Mark chapter 1 now. We had finished, wrapped up 1 Corinthians. We got that one. Better not say finito again, because I don't know if that means finished or not.
Well, if Deanna was around, she would throw her head back and start laughing. That means you missed it.
Probably.
Did you say finito?
Yeah.
I said Benito.
You did, and I actually know a Benito.
Well, and
I
was
hope he's
here,
listening.
Yeah, I was sitting here going, now, isn't a Benito someone's name?
I'm going to look this up, because I may be saying a bad word.
He said,
word.
I'm a looking.
Yeah, really.
I'm a looking, he said. Got your best talk going. I can understand
hey,
that.
It does say finito is finished.
There you go.
It's all done.
There you go.
So I was right.
Now, see, that's not,
sounds right.
That wasn't the word I learned. I learned for finish, though. So there's so many different Spanish words, Spanish cultures, mm-hmm. I guess, that the words are different.
Or finite. Can mean finite, too. Mm-hmm. Fine or delicate. Though it does mean finished in Italian.
You didn't know you could speak Italian, did you?
I didn't even realize that.
What do you say, chapter?
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
He hadn't said worship.
Yeah. Verse 12. Verse 12. We had just covered the baptism yesterday of Jesus. Today we're getting into the temptation of Jesus. So Jesus gets baptized. We had a lot to say about the baptism. I feel like the last thing we said was very, it was some, we don't talk about this too much, but the affirmation of the Father to the Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and before he did anything. Like, this is, again, he hadn't done a ministry, he hadn't done a single ministerial task. He has not raised no dead yet. He has not healed blind eyes, opened blind eyes. He's not delivered, drove out any demons. He's not done anything. Like, if you think about it, he's just been Jesus. And the closest thing he's got to do anything in ministry was 12 years old answering questions. But yet, I think the Father's affirming him here
right.
as the Son whom we well please, because I think the Father himself is making known, I'm not pleased just because he does miracles. Like,
I see.
Yeah. And you know, because it was like, I love you. And we talked about this yesterday. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also fully man.
Absolutely.
And he had emotions, and he had things. And so we were yesterday. Now, we don't have, like, this isn't like a foolproof plan or foolproof anything. But, you know, I think it probably overwhelmed Jesus' heart to hear the Father's voice that way. Like, you know, if you really think about it, like, the earth opens up. I mean, the sky opens up. You know, all these things are happening during the baptism. We've always speculated there's a big crowd around, but we don't really have proof there was a crowd or not a crowd. We know John was there, and we know that Jesus was there, and we know the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father's voice spoke. But I bet Jesus' heart was more full than you could ever imagine.
I can imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe he just, we don't know to this day when he lost Joseph.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there was that father still, like, you know, that was Jesus' earthly father here on the earth. That's who raised him. That's who cared for him.
That's right. That's right.
And he probably did hurt from that to an extent. Mm-hmm. It would never, it's not a sin to be like, grieve your father. Like, I don't think Jesus was like gripped by grief where he's paralyzed by it, but you better believe he felt the pain of losing his dad. And, I mean, I'm sure he felt the pain of his brothers and sisters' betrayal. I mean, in the early on, they just basically said, hey, you didn't...
Rejected him.
You basically called me crazy.
You know, we were talking about this on the radio broadcast. I'm not sure which one, but it's been a minute. And, but, you know, some don't believe that Jesus had any brothers or sisters, but Scripture seems to support that he did.
Absolutely did.
But I mean, if you Google it, it'll go straight to the thing that says that there was none.
Yeah.
And of course, like I said, the first one of the compelling arguments there was when Mary's, you know, it calls Jesus her firstborn.
Yeah.
And so, well, that always implies a secondborn.
Somewhere, I can't remember, it mentions his brothers. It's mentions at least,
well, the two argument is that they called everybody brother.
Right.
Back,
but
back
they
in
mentioned
the day.
He mentions them by name, and then they said something about his sisters, two of them. I can't remember where it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked about it when they were
Matthew,
when they were not allowing him to move in their hometown.
Right.
Yeah.
Matthew 13:55.
Yes, that's it.
Is where that's found in 4. But you know, but they had so kind of left. Now we know that later on they came around.
Right.
But you know, we talked about that yesterday. Just Jesus having to give Mary to John and John to Mary because somebody had to take care of his mother, and he let John do it. Well, where's the brothers? Why didn't they do it?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
And so we talked about a lot of this yesterday, and I don't know how we got in all that with the baptism.
I didn't catch y'all yesterday, obviously. Yeah.
But but we did talk, but the biggest thing we left that with was, you know, Jesus was being marked. He definitely was. He was being called into ministry, all these kind of things. But I think Jesus also was being affirmed by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father was speaking to the Son at this moment, and it was this... You are my beloved Son. He's not just saying it so everybody hears
it.
He's actually talking to the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. And, you know, it's like, I know I've been in that moment to where I've had fatherly figures in my life speak to me and just say, I am proud of you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it does something in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine what it would have done for the Son's heart here,
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' heart. But then, like, we're moving from there, and the Spirit did descend. But then, now Mark does this. because he's moving through the he moves through the gospel quickly. Like, he is very action packed. So here his terminology is a little bit different maybe than others, but he says the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. So who took him into the wilderness? The Spirit of God.
According to this, the Spirit of God, right? Now, you know, that it says it's odd that it speaks this way of the Holy Spirit driving him into the wilderness. And I, you know, especially when the rest of the scriptures talk about how sensitive the Holy Spirit is and how grieved he can be and how quenched he can be and all that. But here it's like there's a thrusting going
right.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is almost being pushed into the wilderness. Is that the right word?
Yes,
there?
It is.
I think so. I mean, Matthew says was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark said he was full of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. returned to Jordan, was led by the Spirit of God.
So led's a better word?
Well, I think you're looking at both of them like just come. Like, we're going to go there.
We're going, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Mark uses this terminology of drove. Just because that's how he was writing his gospel. Mm-hmm. Everything was being pushed along. Everything, mm-hmm. you know, he pop, pop, pop.
Like immediately something's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do think without a doubt this was not Jesus' idea. It was being led by the Spirit of God mm-hmm. that saying, it's time to go to the wilderness. Let's go here and let's go
there.
That's
a great word right there, that it was not Jesus' idea.
No, yeah. it is
yeah.
true.
Yeah, so many times that's exactly what the Holy Spirit, he'll lead us the same yeah. way, where, you know, we wouldn't have thought or even wanted to yeah. do something that he stirred us to do.
Yeah.
And you recognize the Spirit and you obey.
And I think this feeds into what one thing we did discuss, and I don't mean to just speak on yesterday, but it's like it's all fitting together.
Right. Might as well.
Well, it's yesterday we talked about sometimes we make Jesus a robot, and it's like, all right, he's just here to fill A, B, C, D, and it's just he's going through the motions, and it's like, Jesus, okay, now I go here, now I got to go to here, and okay, now I got to do this, now I got to get the donkey, now I got to do this, and it's like he's just accomplishing the task, mm-hmm. and that was not how Jesus was on the earth. He was filling everything that he mm-hmm. was accomplished. There was investment into it. And here, we don't even have evidence here that Jesus knew he was going to the wilderness. He was right. led by
the Spirit
mm-hmm. into the wilderness. So it looks to me like at this point, Jesus may not even realize he was supposed to go to the wilderness.
I'm going to mm-hmm. agree with you.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think when he was led by the Spirit or found himself in situations and now he's, okay, this is getting ready to go down. Then he knows, hey, the scriptures are being fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it was something he went, oh, I've got to go.
Yeah, I'm just going to cruise
I'm going to town
this.
Today mm-hmm. to fulfill mm-hmm. scripture.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. From I knew this was March 20th, 33.
Come on.
It's like 33. I was like, you can't say 1903 or something like this. There's like 30 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Time to go.
Uh-huh.
Like, we treat him like that, though. Yes. Like, we just yes. treat him like he's just completing his task.
Mm-hmm. We also treat him like, you know, this thing you said about him being man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. There's a place there, too, that we treat him like he is fully God, which takes away the aspect of what he really came here to do. And that wasn't just to die. It was to die on a cross and make a way back to the Father. But there's also a role he feels called the position of high priest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had to know these things. He had to know what it meant mm-hmm. to be me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had to know what it felt like for me to lose my Father.
Mm-hmm.
He had to know that. it's that story. You know, I was talking to the Lord, so I was going through a really hard time one time, and I said to him, you know, here I am, and this is getting ready to happen. And I was in the process of potentially losing my home.
Mm.
And I said, you know, I'm going to lose my home. And he said, I know exactly how you feel.
Mm,
and see, the thing of it is that that there are other people that know how you feel, but they don't know exactly how you feel. He left his home.
Mm-hmm.
He lost it. So he does know how I felt. And when he says it, it's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It changes everything. All of a sudden, it's not that you want to lose your home, but you know you're going to be okay if you do.
Yeah.
Because of what he just said to you. And that's the thing about him being a man, is that he had to. know what it was like to be you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had to know.
He can empathize with us.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's what the scripture says, too.
Yeah. So he was driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness, and then he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was, let me run over here for a second.
That's all right. You know, he says he was tempted for 40 days. We just read right through that.
Uh-huh.
And then goes into those three areas he was tempted as though that happened in like 10 seconds.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, there's what happened. And three. You know, it don't take 40 days to tempt somebody.
No.
Could have all happened once.
And was with the wild beast and the angels ministering unto him, which we know from the other gospels too. He was fasting during this point.
Right.
He was he was not eating. So,
he's physically, going down.
And here's where I feel like myself, the exchange of dominion really began to happen. Because we know in other parts, like, we don't, again, John, Mark is very much a unique gospel. Mark is not covering the temptation, like, where he's refuting back with the word of God. He's tempted with this, and then he gives him the word of God. We know from other gospels what he's doing here. But it's like Satan is tempting him. But yet, Satan's realizing, I don't have the governance over this guy that I do everybody else. Like, the dominion of sin over everybody else's life is different than this guy. Don't have that. And was the devil fully aware of everything that Jesus was and who Jesus is? I think he definitely had a hint, but there was something different when he tried to tempt him. He's like, hey, I can give you this. And you're like, my dad's already got it.
Like, hey, Satan. You know, I think Satan knew he had a man in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He may have known that he was the Son of God. I don't know, but I would imagine he did. Have you come to torment us before the time? You know. So,
but I have had this question before.
Okay.
Like, did the demon start to realize who he was at that point?
The scripture tells us if they had
known,
like, they would not have crucified him.
Did you come to do this to us? Like, I don't think they knew the mystery of the gospel. Like,
right.
Did they know who he was eventually, or did they know who he was from the get-go, but did they not understand the plan?
That's it.
I think that's what
they didn't
is.
Understand the plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They knew who he was,
mm-hmm.
but they still, for some sick reason, thought they had him.
Well, they thought if they could bring him down, then that was it. If they could get this one,
they
to
win.
Do.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's all over for everything.
But Satan probably left the wilderness here with Jesus going, man, I don't know if I got anything on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's different. And because he's tempting him, and like tempting him with the same thing he tempted Adam in reality.
Right.
And he came back more than once.
And where Adam said yes, Jesus said no. And there, I feel like the exchange of the kingdom was starting to happen already. The dominion.
Right.
And Jesus, you know, we probably don't give him enough recognition for the wilderness experience, the 40 days fasting, mm-hmm. Satan tempting him in his ear, the wild beast. We never even talk about the wild beast that was surrounding him. Does that mean spiritual things, or does that mean like he's literally like wild beast that's trying to hurt him?
Could be both.
Angels are having to minister to him to keep him alive, basically. Mm-hmm. This was a very intense season
mm-hmm.
for Jesus.
And it has to be a temptation. And
right.
It's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes the fact that would Jesus be tempted with the glory of this world?
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought about one of the things I've thought about is that it would have been difficult for him to stand in the presence of the number one enemy of God
mm-hmm.
and not take him out. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To overthrow him in this moment, and he could have.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Because, you know, then you're getting into the laying down his divinity to pick up his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And as Corinthians says, for a season became lower than the angels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he had an inability to do anything. It's just he had chose to lay it down so that he knows what it's like to be tempted.
I think it really shows it in that garden.
Yeah.
In that temptation
right
there.
Yeah.
And he said, if don't you know I could go.
Yeah, that was in the garden. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
so he was not without.
No, but he had chose.
He truly laid it down.
Second Corinthians, I believe it is, tells us that he gave up his riches, his glory, to take on poverty, so that in his poverty those who are impoverished can become rich. Mm-hmm. And that's not talking about money. Like, if you take that as money, then you probably got some heart issues going on there. It's
right.
He's talking about our spiritual walk with Christ, that he, with him, it's, he gave it up, like his glory that he had, he surrendered it for a season, so that he could pick up humanity like us, so that in his humanity he can bring us into his glory.
That's right. These things right here are the kind of things that if you will spend the day meditating on these very things, I'm telling you, it'll revolutionize your life. It will flip it completely around as far as your life with the Lord. If we can realize what he really has done here.
Amen. Right.
Man.
And what it means, you're right, for our life, you know, because it's right there you are. You're surrounded with wild beasts. Whether they be spiritual or physical, it's so little. We make so little of these kind of things. It's like you said, we read right through it like it was nothing. We just need to get to the big paragraph.
Yeah. We're overarching on the ideas. Good. Yeah. All right, we get our first trivia question. This will get your name in for the brand new 2 weeks. Congratulations to Miss Brenda Sims yesterday for winning for the first time. She's been waiting for that day. Now, this is a tricky question. Now, we're in for a new 2 week period. Miss Gretchen has been so kind to donate a $25 Chick-fil-A gift card for the winner of this trivia 2 weeks. But this is a tricky one, so I'm going to probably read it twice. what is missing from this list question. All right, so the 9 fruit of the Spirit listed: meekness, joy, long-suffering, love, gentleness, faith, temperance, peace. What is missing from that list?
I know.
All right, here we go. I'll read it one more time. These are 9 fruit of the Spirit listed.
You better give the version.
Meekness. It's KJV. Meekness, joy, long-suffering, love, gentleness, faith, temperance, peace. What fruit is missing from that list?
Well, somebody got it.
We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. An answer finally. Goodness and kindness. Miss Mandy got it correct.
Yay.
How about that?
There's hope.
How about that? We had a lot of patience and kindness. Patience and long sufferings, and several people called in with that, but it was actually goodness.
Kindness.
Hallelujah. That's a good question. It's a tricky one.
It really was.
You said it was.
It was hard to read because you're like,
wanting to say it.
Well, I think, but anytime I talk about the 9 for the Spirit, I think of the songs. I just want to sing in my head and just going through them without even thinking. So you had to very intentional and read them and not read the word that you're trying to get them to say. But good job. Get you in for that drawing 2 week, brand new 2 weeks. So we got 2 weeks here. You can get your name in twice over 2 weeks. And
Can we call in when we're not on the radio?
Yeah. The days you're not on, you can get your name in too.
We might have to do that.
Yeah,
kind of like some Chick-fil-A.
$25 gift card to Chick-fil-A. Amen. All right. Well, we just got done talking about the temptation of Jesus, and I do agree with what you all are saying, and you all have echoed quite a bit. Is like just we pass over stuff like this really quickly. It was just 40 days of temptation, of hunger, of wild beasts, of angels having to minister, and we pass it over in 10 seconds because it's only 2 verses here. And so often that is something we do. We don't slow down and unpack. And when you're unpacking, you've got to be careful, inserting too much and I understand, when you're doing a movie or a show or something, you have to put some things in there a little bit because, if you made a movie just in the Gospel of Mark, it's going to be 17,000 scene changes and pop, 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 3 words and boom, you're there, boom, you're there, boom, you're there. That's how Mark was writing, just immediately. I do love taking scriptures like the temptation though and just thinking he had a heart, he had emotions, even the baptism, there's just a lot there. So, well, did you bring a word today, Miss Jeannie?
Well, I want to say a word about that. You know, when you look at this and you look at Jesus going through this temptation, and of course, you know, he already told Peter, you're gonna get sifted. Mm-hmm. It's gonna happen to you. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have temptations. We're gonna have things that's coming at us. And I love that the fact that he said we don't take the time. We just scoot right through these things, and somebody comes alongside you. You're going through a tough time, and you're struggling. And somebody comes alongside you and says, "Don't forget, the Lord said that He'll never forsake the righteous." And you go, "I know that." What? Just moving right along. Just get on past it. No, go sit down with it.
Right.
Go sit it, because it's come to deliver you. It's come to bring you up out of something. And when God said, "You've not been tempted above what you're able to bear," but with that temptation, He is faithful to make a way of escape.
That's right.
And, you know, and so many times we don't spend the time to hear from Him. What is the way, Lord? What is it I need to see right here? Mm-hmm. How do I need to come? What's going to bring me out of this? You know, where's my door out of here? Because it's always going to be Him speaking to us what He's already said, and us taking confidence in what He's told us.
You know, it kind of reminds me, it's my verse, but when Jesus said that in Revelation about counseled you to buy me gold. But see, this is the gold too. This is the place where it's not just the words, it's the action and the walk that's behind the words. The Word of God was walking it out. And when we look at this, then we can, it's not just reading the words, this is your way of escape. Follow Him. Mm-hmm. You know, He was there for 40 days being tempted of Satan. He was with wild beasts, and angels were ministering to Him. Walk this way. Mm-hmm. Follow Him. And see, I think that's why He laid it all down. That's why these things are written for us. Follow Him.
And when He spoke the word, when He answered, "It is written," that wasn't His best religious answer.
No.
That was His hanging on to everything
that
God said. The Word of God was nourishing Him. It was bringing to Him life. He said to the disciples later, "I have food you don't know anything
exactly.
about."
Mm-mm. Exactly.
What did He mean for us? To learn how to live by it.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to live from it. And so I don't know about you personally, my life, when I've been through some of the hardest struggles of my life, when the Word of God came to me in it, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about us going plucking something out and trying to religiously hang on to it. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Spirit of God speaking up on the inside in a moment.
All right.
And because you know His Word, you know it's His
That's
voice.
Right.
And He says something that absolutely changes it.
Right.
It's over. The battle,
right.
Even though physically whatever it was is not over, I just found the way out.
Yeah, you're
there
following
it is.
Him.
There it is.
And
amen.
If you'll stay on that way.
That's exactly right.
You're going to stay. You're going to be free.
This is the life that I've learned to live with Him. And I wouldn't take anything for. Because in everything now, I am more than a conqueror.
That's right.
I am an overcomer. I'm not just saying it now, because I've learned to wait on Him. I've learned to listen for Him. And I've learned to take hold of it. And buddy, that's going to be I'm going to hang on to.
You know, and I like that right there, what you said. I am more than a conqueror. He never intended for you to be a survivor. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
He intended for you to be a conqueror. Mm-hmm. More than, He said. He intended for you to be victorious.
Mm-hmm. And I want to speak into this real quick. Because there's so much, I hear it so much, and you know personally, because you know me, that it's a pet peeve for me.
Right.
And I don't know why, other than I'm seeing you're going to drown. That's what I see. You're going to drown if that's all you got. But people are throwing words around because Scripture says you're more than a conqueror. Then you just go, "Well, I'm more than a conqueror." Well, you better enter into your relationship
that's
with
right.
the Lord. I got to say that in a strong way. Because it's from there, from that relationship, that deep heartfelt relationship, that he can speak to you that's what's going to make you more than a conqueror. Mm-hmm. You're not going to just quote a scripture and become more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm strong. I know it's, but that part, it is a place of, you know, I see you, I hear you, but I don't see the life that's pressing into him.
Yeah. I think sometimes we kind of perpetuate this notion, if I say it, I'll become it.
Yeah.
And it's like this, and it really is a secular mindset, almost like, there's this demonic doctrine that circulates the earth, and it's called manifest. And basically, now, like, we believe the Lord manifests his presence, and we can, you know, manifesting itself is not a bad word, but the theory around this doctrine or this philosophy of life is, if I can say it, I can have it. And if I can just see it or something, I can do it. Like, and it's really like this notion of manipulation, I guess you could say. But quoting scripture is different than just living scripture.
Right.
Like,
right.
We can quote a lot of things. You can say, I am the kindest of all the earth, but if you're cussing at everybody you meet,
mm-hmm.
or blessing and increase will be mine, and you know, I'm the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, but you keep going in debt on every single thing,
right.
And you're not generous and you're not giving.
Come on.
You can quote it till the cows come home, but it's not going to matter,
right.
Because your life is actually contradicting, and you reap what you sow. You're not reaping what you say. You reap what you sow.
We just talked about this on the radio. That's God is not mocked. That scripture is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so there's a lifestyle to be had.
Absolutely.
Here. And it's a lifestyle, can I say it in a strong way, that you should want.
That's right. Who wants to be a victim?
Who does not want to know the Lord?
That's right.
You know, and that's where Jesus said, many will say to me on that day. I wonder if on that day, many will say, well, I'm a child of the Most High God.
That's right.
Well, I'm an overcomer. I wonder. And he'll say, I don't know you. Where was our conversations? Where was the time that you pressed into me and I gave you the hard thing to do and you did it?
Right.
When was that? When was that thing where I said, forgive that, and you did? Where is that at in my life?
You know, it's and I know not very long ago or within the last few years, the word authority kept coming up. You know, every time I turn around, you know, the authority that we have in Christ. And, you know, Jesus, when they heard him speak, they said, Who is he that he speaks with such authority?
Mm-hmm.
And then the disciples would speak and they would say, they're unlearned men. How do they speak with such knowledge? You know, and that's your authority. Your authority is the word. Your authority comes from out of the word, being led being led there by the Spirit of God. It's not, again, it's not just saying a bunch of words. You know, casting out this and doing that. It's the word of God given to you by the Spirit. That's what Jesus did when he was in this place of the wilderness. When the temptation came, the word came.
Yeah.
For it is written.
Yeah.
There's your authority.
Yeah.
It is written.
And you know, there's one of the scriptures all of us preachers love to talk about is the woman at the well. Like, we love that story. There's a lot we can preach from it.
I'm telling you.
But there's a portion of it that we miss at the first.
Uh-huh.
And this portion speaks to me in a lot of different ways, because a lot of times in the church, we tell people you're not allowed to be tired. You're not allowed to be this. Like, if you are, just suck it up, buttercup, and keep marching on. You know, you got a point A to point B to get to. And we tell people, like, Miss Jeannie, maybe she has a cold. She calls me and she says, I'm just not feeling well today. You're feeling great. And Jeannie's like, no, I'm feeling really bad. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we don't allow people to actually feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do is we never let the Lord actually into our mess, because we're always trying to rise above within our own abilities.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But there's a portion of this text that this whole text doesn't work if Jesus doesn't listen to his emotion.
That's right.
Because it says in verse, he's going a different way than he's supposed to. Verse 4, and he passed to go through Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to a town, Samaria, called Sychar, and near the field that Jacob had given to his son. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied mm-hmm. as he was from his journey. Other translations say he was tired. He was exhausted mm-hmm. from his journey. John chapter 4, verse 6.
And did you read my lips?
I heard you. It's Uh-oh. Okay. It's okay. But here he's tired. If he just says, I'm not tired, I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. If he just keeps pushing, he misses the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, I feel like what we're doing is we're trying to push ourselves so hard from point A to point B, because it's all, even what we said earlier, task-oriented. We're missing women at the well. We're missing our, because his disciples are like, we see you're tired. And they're like, hey, we're going to go get meat. And he's like, I got meat that y'all don't even know of. Because his weariness is not just physical. Now his weariness is, I've got something to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And his greatest strength and his greatest encouragement is going to be coming from just doing the will of God and being who he's called to be. And we're always worried about getting A to B and getting this done and getting that done and that task done. And this, and I'm guilty as much as anybody. And we're ignoring our own body. We're ignoring our own thirst. We're ignoring our own hungers, our spiritual desires, our physical needs at times. And I get fasting and all that, of course, but I do feel like there is a point to where this whole speak it stuff, like, it gets out of hand. And I think we're hurting people, and I think people's not getting the help they need because we're not even letting them express their concern. Because if we say, if you say it, mm-hmm. you're cursing yourself. And I was like, that's mm-hmm. not what that scripture means. There's life and death in the tongue. Mm-hmm. That life and death is, with one word, I can either build Miss Jeannie, or with one word, I can crush Miss Jeannie. Right. Mm-hmm. We have the power of life and death in our tongue. We can speak truth, or we can speak curses. We can speak blessing. But just to acknowledge that I'm just having a really bad day today.
Well, you
and
know,
I need the Lord to help.
I think if you don't do it, you can get yourself into a place, or get someone else into another place where they feel guilted into not being... They feel guilty because they're not a good Christian, because they're not doing, or they overdo and they get burned out. Yeah.
And we're not talking about people who, like, every day is the same. Like,
right,
the devil's
exactly.
kicking my butt every
right,
single day.
Right.
Yeah.
Gretchen's going to tell you there's no such thing as burnout, I'm going to tell you that right now.
Who is?
Gretchen. Where you at, Gretchen?
Well, I think you can if it's got the wrong attitude behind it.
Oh yeah, that's the point.
Yeah,
that's the point.
It's this here.
Yeah, but and I'm not talking about giving people excuse to whine and
that's
stuff
right.
like that.
That's right.
But I've like mm-hmm. seen people who are really like struggling with something,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they won't tell anybody. They won't talk to anybody. They won't. And if we're not confessing things to each other, how can we be healed? Mm-hmm. How can we know what to pray? How can we do these kind of things? I'm not talking about whining, complaining, and coming into agreement with what's over my life.
This is where your groups are going to come in.
That's right.
And a lot of people stay away from the Bible study. They mm-hmm. stay away from the fellowship. They think we're just getting together eating cake. But it goes so much deeper than that. You're getting close to people, and you're rubbing elbows with people who are actually going to hear from you. And it's gonna cause you to be able to be healed in this moment.
Yeah.
And if you don't make those kind of groups, if you don't make those kind of connections, a lot of people just go to church on Sunday, Aaron, mm-hmm. and it won't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I preached a whole sermon on it Sunday morning.
Did you?
This pretty much.
See, I ain't heard you.
I
didn't hear you this
morning. I talked. Literally, the whole sermon was about the three things the New Testament church did after it started: preach the word, continuing the apostles' doctrine, fellowship over the breaking of bread,
right.
and prayer. That was
right.
the three things they did. I said they gave themselves to the word, they gave themselves to each other, and they gave themselves
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the church, and that's what we're called to do. And
I need you.
We need each other.
I do. I really 100%. Need you, because I can come distraught, or I can come in a situation, and the Lord is going to give you something to say to me that's going to be a spoken in due season.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I needed that. I needed to hear that right there. And if without that, you are at such a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also need each other to walk along each other. And as Galatians 6 talks about,
so
lifting
what do you
each
think
other.
What do you think about the person who says, well, I have the Lord. That's all I need.
I think that they're not reading Scripture. I'll just be honest with you. I think they're... First John talks about the cross. I teach my kids all the time. The cross fixed it. the cross fixed the relationship vertically and horizontally. He prayed it in John 17, and John talked about it in 1 John. That horizontal relationship is repaired just as much as the vertical. I do think there is times that there's people that's hurt and wounded and they're scared to. Thomas said, unless I can put my finger in the sides, I'm not believing again. I'm not doing this thing again because I'm hurt. Right. He's upset. Jesus died on him, and he wasn't supposed to die on him. And I think sometimes people – but I think for the most part, there's a lot of pride and ignorance and arrogance in it. And just but I know for me, I couldn't imagine doing life without the body.
We just grew up in so much keep it to yourself stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I this is a real life situation that just happened. And this gal was really going through some tough stuff now. And a couple came by to see her. Another Christian couple came by to encourage her and to lift her up. And if you could have seen her face and seen her tell this, because she would have done it a whole lot better than me. But she was like, and I thought, well, what am I upset about? I have everything. I have the Lord, and then I have the friends, and then I have, and then, you know, I'm on top.
Yeah.
You know, and she just turned her completely around.
Yeah.
Turned her completely around. Her situation was not changed at that moment.
Yeah.
But her looking at
That's
what
right.
God has given
That's
her
right.
was
yeah.
way off the chart.
Well, the enemy wants to drive us into the cave, like just like he did Elijah.
Right.
And basically what the Lord reminded Elijah is, I've got 7,000 other than you too. You're not alone. And
you know, that's hard on the brain right there, that you're really having a down day, and God said, I got people all over the place.
Yep. Yeah.
You're not yeah. the only one.
I'm the only one left.
You're not. No, you're not, he said.
But, you know, there's a situation right now in the church here that we're walking through and, you know, praying through and the journey of it. But I could not imagine for this family to go through this, because last night being there, I saw the support of the body. Mm-hmm. I saw the love of the body, not just from this church, but other churches. And there was, like, even in the room last night, there was multiple churches represented. There was, you know, multiple pastors there praying and
I'd
leading.
I'd like to think, yeah.
And I was like, how could we do this without the body? Like, why would we want to be alone? Why would you want to be isolated from the encouragement, the love, the prayer, the support? And I feel like it's a tactic of the enemy, and we talked pretty extensively about this Sunday morning, just the attack of isolation on the body.
Yeah.
And what it's doing to the body of Christ. And, you know, I think one of the things, and we've got to go to break for the hard break, but, and then we'll come back here and talk some more on this, but we've made the church such a well-oiled machine. We forgot the church was actually about building relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you look at a lot of churches, and it's hurting people through. You look, your bigger churches, but also your smaller churches, is we get them in, we set them down, we sing them a couple songs, we preach them a sermon, and then we herd them out, and come back next week for more feeding.
Mm-hmm. You can't expect the result that the Bible says you get out there, if internally, and this is collectively, if collectively or individually, if the right thing's not going on in here.
Yeah.
You can't expect the church to do what the Bible says it can do out there unless the church here is healthy and according to what God said it was supposed to be doing and being.
I love that you said isolate. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly, you know, the question was asked just this week for me. What is your response to the hard things? How do you respond to hard things? And, well, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to isolate. I'm going to get out of here. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And that's the very thing that will bring defeat.
Yeah. Let's go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back here, and we'll continue this conversation. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Survey, and where did the Lord lead Abram after he told him to leave Haran? Where did the Lord lead Abraham after he told him to leave Haran? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. On the Box 2 Radio. Oh, All right, we are back here. What an awesome God that we serve. What an awesome God that we serve. 270-257-2689. Where did the Lord lead Abraham after he told him to leave Haran? 270-257-2689. Get your call in. Get your name added for this two-week period. Get your name in twice every 2 weeks. This is for the $25 Chick-fil-A gift card. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the isolation of the body and how the enemy wants to tempt us into it. And there might be seasons where, you know, like Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Like, you know, he had to endure that wilderness season for a season. But I do think we have to be careful not to stay there. Like, there, you know, it'll get you in a dark place. And again, the Lord has made us to do life with the body of Christ. And look, that body of Christ, you will hopefully have a local body that you're worshiping with, that you are fellowshipping with, that you know is praying for you. You have leaders that are covering you in prayer, there to serve and to lead and help you. But don't you think that you're just isolated only to your local body? Like, it's just, you know, poof. I can't go anywhere else. It's exclusive club. It's nobody else doing, like, fellowship with the body. Mm-hmm. And what I encourage everybody to do Sunday morning is, I said, I don't care if you got to cancel plans. I said, invite somebody over for dinner.
Yay. Yeah.
And
that's one.
And what I'm finding this more and more in Scripture. And we talked about this yesterday, but it's just, a lot of people's talked to me about this when we're talking about it, is I believe we should not just be inviting them over to play, like, games and stuff, like, which I think is fine, like, to play cards, dominoes, or something like that. I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't care about that at all. I think it's good. I think laughing together, enjoying time together, fellowshipping. But what I strongly encourage them to do is find time while they're over to take communion together. And I said, I don't think you'll ever find in Scripture where communion was discouraged being taken at home. Actually, I think you find the opposite, that I don't know if you find a time in Scripture where communion was taken corporately. And I'm not against it. Like, I clarified that Sunday morning, that I said, everybody repeat after me, Aaron is not against corporate communion. Like,
Aaron is against corporate.
I am not.
He is not.
I think a biblical presence, though, was more of a going house to house, breaking bread in a communion-type meal together. And it was less just about the oyster cracker and grape juice and more about a reminder of who he is, to share him with each other, to share each other with him. And it's like just to have him the centerpiece. So even as you're eating together, you're communion with him, you're talking about him, you're sharing testimonies with each other, you're building each other up in the most holy faith.
That's right.
You're remembering his body that was broken, his blood that was poured out. You're giving God thanks with each other. And to me, that's just as significant as any oyster cracker or grape juice cup. And I'm not trying to be mean or pick on that, but yeah. I feel like a more biblical precedence for it is probably at home with other believers breaking bread together. So,
you know, I was talking to some girls this past week, and you know, the strength that you can get from just speaking out loud. Anyway, and you know, I encourage them, you know, just go home and talk to God, but talk to him out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just always internalize everything. You know, we spend all this time, well, I've been thinking about the Lord all day, but what did you say to him?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that as a religious rule. I'm saying you don't understand. The more that you hear you speak, for one thing, it won't be so foreign to you. But, you know, take advantage of these moments alone and talk to him. Just talk to him. And then you also find that it'll spill over and it's not as difficult to speak to others.
Well, in a way, that not talking out loud is an isolation. That that statement of, well, he already knows, you know, God knows, that is an isolation. And, you know, because he said, come and let us reason together. Reasoning together requires communication. So that means you need to say it to him, and he needs to hear you say it, you know, because he wants to talk to you about it. And, you know, as one who is pretty good at isolating, I will say this, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can isolate for whatever reason. You can stay away for whatever reason you have. And you're not living there. Mm-mm. You're just not living there. Right. And the thing is that as a Christian, too, he tells me to not isolate myself away from them. But see, that isolation that he's talking about works both ways. That's me needing them, but it's also them needing me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a hard thing for me to grasp, is that
you had something to bring.
They would need me.
Right.
Well, if you're his and he's talking and you're talking to him, they need you. Mm-hmm. You know,
and you can be isolated in coming to church every
Sunday. That's right.
And you can still be sitting in church with 100 people, mm-hmm, and be isolated.
Been there, done it. And it is not life. It is not living your life.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to pull it off.
No.
Because it's nowhere in Scripture that supports it, really.
You know, it's that place I said to some people this, well, I've said it to other people, you know, I remember us singing that song in church one time, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. And all of a sudden it dawned on me as we said those words that it's true. Mm-hmm. I could see that. But, you know, the thing of it is that your isolation shows up on yourself, too. You know, you think, well, if you're hiding something by isolating or whatever, there's evidence of it on your life. Mm-hmm. You know, come out and live your life.
I love to speak to what you were saying. As we break bread together, mm-hmm, this is powerful, powerful
That's
thing.
Right.
And we, and, you know, even if the person in the room is not comfortable or I don't, you know, use the word comfortable, but speak of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Speak of, mm-hmm, him and lift him up. You know, I always say this. You have to be able to speak of him anytime, anywhere, in any situation.
That's right.
You have to be able to pull up that testimony of who he is and who he is to you. And if you say, well, things aren't going very well. Okay, well, go speak on what went well for somebody else. I don't know. But speak of him and bring the testimony of Jesus Christ into your fellowship somehow.
How many times have we said it? Speaking of him changes.
It changes
your attitude. How many times have you walked into anywhere and you didn't? You had a headache or whatever it was. You had a bad attitude or whatever it was. And you started speaking of him, mm-hmm, and that, mm-hmm, headache wasn't there anymore. You didn't notice it, mm-hmm, until after you were done, and then you noticed it wasn't there.
This really happened to me. You know, you're talking about Jesus was wearied, and we don't let people be wearied. Just yesterday, I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, anybody knows me, that don't happen a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But I was just, I don't know what, but it was, but I was going to go last. I went last night because on Monday nights we do Celebrate Recovery. And I'm in the band. So we're getting ready to worship. And in my head, I got a headache. I'm still feeling bad, but I'm going, right? And so as we started to worship uh-huh, was over the top last uh-huh night. It really was. And we just worshiped and entered in, and it was great. And I don't know where the headache is. I don't know where any of that. But, you know, then when I came out of it and got back home, it was like,
yep.
It's there. But, boy, when I was worshiping, mm-hmm, it was not there.
Yep.
It didn't have the power to continue on me, I guess.
Well, it's that place we've spoke of that says, you know, he's bringing, when you bring your all, he's bringing his all. You know, you take your headache on up in there. You take your isolation
That's right.
on
I
up
learned
in there.
That. That's
you go
right.
on up in there and talk about him. You'll find what you're looking for.
If I hear somebody in the grocery store, I mean, I can be in line in the grocery store and I hear somebody uh-huh say something that even remotely points to Jesus, I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord.
I'm with you,
brother.
Uh-huh. Heard someone speak.
Yeah, because somebody spoke of him. That's right. What does it do? It just arises everything on the inside
that's
of
right.
you. It really does.
Yeah. And I think that's what happens when we come together in fellowship and breaking of bread and commune with him, talk of him, share what he's doing in each other's life to bring to remembrance and give him praise. And, you know, you have time for fun and fellowship, absolutely. But putting him right in the middle of everything, like if you can't take him into something because you're embarrassed, you shouldn't be doing it. Right. But here in 1 Corinthians 11, I want to say this because we've had a lot of talk back on this lately, like since I made that statement Sunday morning with the Lord's Supper and, you know, being as – because it's something the church has done for a long time. And I think we've got the criticism a lot, like, why don't we do communion more as a church? And I'm not against it. Like, we'll probably do it again soon. But here's what I find, and I could be wrong, but this is what I find. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 11 – well, I'll read 17. So it's 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not command you because – commend you. Basically, I'm not like, you know, because when you come together, it is not for the better but for the worse. So Paul's hitting them. We talked about this in our study. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it is in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you must be recognized. So – saying just the fact that there's genuine ones and fake ones, it's a proof there's factions between you. There's separations. Mm-hmm. But here he uses the word what? Come together as a church. So he's saying when you gather as a whole church,
right,
then there's separation, there's divisions. Now in verse 20 he says when you come together. And I think the King James uses the word in one place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talking about you're coming together in a place. And what are they doing there? That's where they're taking the Lord's Supper. It's not necessarily – he doesn't use the same phraseologies he said about the divisions as coming together as the church. He says when you come together. And most translations just say when you come together. King James does say in one place. But it's not necessarily as a church. Does that make sense? Like,
Yeah. I agree.
And right. If you go back to Jesus, every time he mentioned the Lord's Supper or he talked about communion or what we would call communion, he's talking about this bread or it's at a table.
Right.
If you look at here, Paul's talking about the what? Lord's table. Like he's talking about come together and you're eating at a table. And that's where I just continue to see. And now we make this very much about the cracker and the juice. And that's when you're only supposed to take communion. But what I see in scripture of the New Testament is even right here, it seems different. And I feel like even this, like, we have to be careful not to let what is truly meaning being ripped out, because this is what tradition of man has taught us to do. And it's and I've heard people actually even make ludicrous statements like, well, a Lord's Supper has to be conducted by an ordained priest or an ordained minister. I'm not talking about a Catholicism thing. I'm talking about Protestants and evangelicals say the same thing. Like a pastor has to come to your house and do communion. I'm like, who said? Like, what verse? I must have missed that. Must have been in Book of Deuteronomy. Like, I must not have caught that one. Mm-hmm. That's in the Gospel of Thomas. We threw that out. Okay? Like, it's not in there.
Right.
It's because communion is not about this religious orthodox notion. It's about the fact we get together.
Yeah.
And we remember together the body that's broken.
It is a fellowship.
Yes.
It is. Uh-huh. And we come together. That's what Paul's even saying. When we come together, you're treating this as a light thing. You're treating this as a they were doing some very perverted things when they came together. You ain't doing that in the temple. They were doing that in homes. Mm-hmm. And he was calling and breaking all this out, but he never told them to stop. He said, you're just perverting it. And imagine if the body of Christ really did get together and eat meals together and do life together and encourage one another. Because how many people do we hear from? And Miss Jeannie and Miss Karen, you've probably heard people say this, and we may have all said this at one point in our lives. I can't wait to get back to church on Sunday to get recharged. Mm. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know if that's a scriptural precedence. Mm-mm. Sunday morning's the gathering for the equipping, for the training, for the empowerment, but also the celebration.
The celebration
of Jesus.
Right. That's exactly right. If we want to look like a New Testament church, that's what we need to be doing.
Like, I don't find anywhere we're supposed to crawl into Sunday morning to get charged.
Right.
And but if we're not around other believers throughout the week and we're not fellowshipping in communion with Him and each other, we probably do feel empty. And I think that's the tactic of the enemy, is like he's convinced us the only way we get filled is at church. But the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, basically saying every day we're to be filled with the Spirit of God.
When you're back to the woman at the well, I was going to bring that up earlier, and it just didn't fit, but I'm going to say it here. And I might be off. Somebody can call in and tell me I'm off. But when he was at that well with that woman, the disciples came back and, you know, they're like, he's talking to a Samaritan. But then they said, Master, you need to eat.
Yeah.
That's when it happened, after the whole incident was over. And Jesus said, I have food you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the food that he was speaking of in that moment was the will of the Father.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so many times we're not nourished during the week. Ouch. Because we're not doing the will.
That's exactly right.
Of the Father. We're not walking out God's will in our life, which was what? One of the things that was the will of God was to prove it. Prove by your life, by your conversation, that he's alive and that he's alive in me. And have an answer for somebody. Because if you walk, all you have to do is walk to the store, and you're going to hear somebody's complaint about this life. And what are you going to do with it? Because this is the nourishment. You will not come in beat down. Even if somebody rejects you, you will not come into Sunday morning church but to rejoice over what the Lord has done.
Mm-hmm.
Or rejoice over the fact that you were counted worthy to be persecuted for it.
Yeah.
Either way, you won't be dragging in hoping to get a bite. You will already have walked nourished through the week.
Yeah. Well,
Jesus, you know, again, when he was 12, that's what he said. I mean, you knew, didn't you not know, I must be about my Father's business. And the thing is that wasn't just a job requirement.
Right.
It was also, that translation there means it was also what he needed. It wasn't just what he was supposed to do. He needed it.
That's good. That's good.
And the thing is, as you know, we were talking about isolation and all of those things. You're not doing the will of the Father. You know, in not reaching out to other people, you're not in the will of the Father. And, you know, again, it's look at the extent that he went to make sure we got it. I mean, really, he went so far to ensure that in him we cannot fail.
Yeah. And he stayed in fellowship his whole walk here.
Mm-hmm.
There were places where he went off by himself to pray, and that's all, you know, we have to have that.
That's
we
right.
We have to do that as well. But he was in fellowship the whole time.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And he not only was in fellowship, but he held nothing back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He laid it all out there for him. He said, I'm hurting today, or I'm wearied today, or I'm whatever. You know, he didn't hold things back.
Yeah. And he was, he wasn't in fellowship with perfect people.
Yeah, no.
Like, I don't know how to say it. Like, and I think sometimes that's what we think is like, well, I can't fellowship with them because they're not perfect. And it's like, you may have a little too high view of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Neither are you.
You know, like, and I'm not saying that Jesus, like, I'm hanging out with sinners because I'm a sinner. But Jesus had great empathy and compassion, but he also had great love. Like, he loved Judas. Judas was embezzling money.
Yeah.
The whole time. I mean, he's not condoning it. Judas had his recompense. Like, Judas had his cost that he paid. But, and I get it. Like, we have to be careful who's in our boat. Jesus was with Judas, but you never find Judas in a secret, like in the intimate rooms. Like when he's when he's healing the girl, he even kicked out his inner circle there because they kind of snickered.
Right. You can't be intimate with everybody.
But so way. I mean, like there's certain rooms Judas didn't get into.
Right.
And that's probably fair to talk about. But Jesus didn't say, you know what, Judas is stealing money. I'm done. I'm gonna go home, and I'm gonna do this thing by myself. There was things that Judas wasn't allowed to do.
Right.
But he did, like, I think sometimes our isolation or our separation from the body of Christ is a byproduct of we just don't think they're good enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be careful with that
That's
mindset.
Right. That's right.
Humble yourself. I mean,
he made his sun shine on the good and the bad.
You know?
At this moment, when we walk into somebody's life, no matter whether they're going to become our best bud or not, we need to leave them impacted
absolutely
by the Lord's presence in our life.
That's what he intended for us to do.
Amen.
What he intended for us
and
to do.
And we can do that, and even if it's just introducing him to them for the very first time.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That don't mean we have to go back and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back and nothing's changing for them. Well, that kind of relationship is going to begin to wear on you.
Yeah.
It's not gonna work out.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, it's true. I think there's a lot about Jesus's life and ministry we probably haven't fully unpacked.
Oh my goodness.
You know, just to talk about this fellowship, and even, you know, you can even, because there's no way that Jesus is condoning what Judas is doing, but yet he's still loving Judas.
He is, mm-hmm. And he's still speaking words of life to him.
And, you know, and Jesus even recognized, you can't tell me that Jesus didn't know, because he called Judas a devil in right. John chapter 6. Right. So it's like, that's pretty early on mm-hmm. in the ministry that he's calling mm-hmm. him a devil. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, 12's left, and he says, but one of you is a devil. Talking to Judas Iscariot. And so he was very well aware.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole excuse that there's just no church good enough for me, or there's hypocrites that go to this church, or there's this that goes there.
Right.
Yeah. There's probably at times a hypocrite looking you in the mirror, because there's one looking me in the mirror every once in a while. And that the Lord has to call out my hypocrisy, and the Lord has to call out my, you know, hey. And here's what I found about it. He's gentle, and he's usually kind with it. And he's like, wake up, son. Mm-hmm. Hey, come on, pull it out of here. And I think we have to be careful to treat God like this old mean man that's sitting on the throne just waiting to get you. But mm-hmm. in reality, some of his worst judgments could be the passive ones where he's just turning you over to your sin. And while he's gently trying to pull you back in, you're just running farther away. But I have like I want to be careful how I say this. I'm filtering because I don't want to have to come on the air and repent tomorrow for saying it the wrong way.
You can do it today.
I can come back on later. I got the buttons in here. I can come on even if I want, right?
We interrupt this program.
There are times that God is ferociously trying to get people's attention. I want to clarify that. I want to make sure that statement's out there. There's times that God comes in with a swift judgment, and it's hard, but it's a hard wake-up call. There is that. But what I have found most of the time is this gentle nudge back into it. We're the ones running aggressively the other way.
Right.
And while we're pouting or angry or mad or whatever it is in a cave, mm-hmm. kicking our little foot like a tantrum, he's like, hey, mm-hmm. just go eat a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. That's still my favorite verse.
But sometimes he has to let what you're doing and what you've entered into, let it bring the result,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that you'll get a taste of, I don't want this anymore.
Right.
I'm not going around that mountain again. I'm not.
And the whole time he's gently leading you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's right.
The prodigal son's eating with pigs. But this whole time, you could tell like there's something saying, you can go back to the father's
house. Right. You can go. Yeah.
You can go, but you can stay here. Like, it's your choice. And then finally, the guy had to get enough of it.
You know, it's kind of like, I remember, Gina, you saying this one time, about how you had spoken some words into someone's life that did not have a believer's lifestyle. You know, you'd spoke some words. And the thing was, is that, you know, and you said, well, that word is in him. He's going to have to do with it what
he
does.
He's going to have to do something with it. Yeah.
And see, that's the thing about, you know, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And this young man had evidently had something put inside of him, and you know, you can't get away from it, no matter how hard you try.
Let me help you.
It's there. And it's going to bring a result.
Hey, Miss Megan,
it's going
you?
To do
you'll
something.
You'll have to reject it.
That's
or you'll
right.
You'll have to embrace it.
That's right.
Well,
it's there.
It's there, and you're going. You can't say, "Oh, I didn't hear
hold,
that."
You know,
we'll
that's right.
In just a
and you know, it intends
Thank
to
you.
Do. It does what it was intended to do, and you're going to have to make a choice concerning that.
Right. I think. Do we have a guest today?
We got a voice joining us here in a minute. You'll love her.
Okay.
Miss Megan Fortner's on.
We know Megan.
She'll just hop right in here with us and go for it. She's on hold here in just a minute. We'll get her in there. But I want to wrap this up real fast because I don't want to just go out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in that position of life where you are in this isolated state, maybe you are. Maybe there is this hint about you that says no one's good enough. There's no church good enough to fellow. Mm-hmm. They're all this. You've actually been hurt. Maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you're just depressed. Maybe you're in that season where depression has gripped your heart. Whatever it is, my greatest encouragement to you is go have lunch with somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, don't let condemnation, guilt, and shame be your master. Today, hook up with somebody. Today, go to lunch with them. Go ahead.
And another thing there is that don't forget that as you go to lunch with that person and as you speak to someone on the phone pertaining to the where you are and they give you a word or whatever, don't forget that when that moment is over, to ponder what happened in that place and be thankful. See, I think that sometimes you jump right back into the way you felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got that past. Now this is how I feel. Don't forget to think about, you know, the Lord says to ponder that word that someone gave you. Ponder that way that you felt when you were with them, listening to them. Think about it. Thank the Lord that they have put somebody in your life that can speak to you words that can change everything for you. Don't forget to be thankful.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And it isn't. And wherever you are fellowshipping with the body, talk of Christ, encourage one another, build each other up in the one holy faith. Like, just go for it. And, yeah. You know, and I say this with out of experience. Like, this is an experiential statement mm-hmm. here. The more you pout and the more you have your tantrum, or the more you kind of sit there and feel sorry for yourself, you're only digging your grave deeper. Mm-hmm. You're digging that rut. You're knocking out more sides. And there's been times in my life where I was in such a rut that the Lord was faithful, but he used people around me to help pull me
out. That's right. That's right.
I hear the Lord saying right now, don't be afraid.
Do not.
Only believe.
That's Amen. Right.
Come on.
Yeah. And again, do not let guilt, shame, and condemnation be. You can sit there and say, well, that's I've messed this up. Stop it. Get up out of the grave. Reach out.
Let one last thing. At the very beginning, you made a comment. You said, he is more than enough. He is more than enough. You can say, well, I've really messed this up. You might have. But he is more than enough.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Miss Megan, you on with us?
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Megan. We're just firing along this morning. Excited for you. Miss Hannah, unfortunately, is not able to be with us this morning, so I know she'll miss being here with you.
She'll miss that. You remember me? Jeannie.
Yes. Hey. How are you, Jeannie?
All right. How you doing?
Oh, blessed and highly favored.
I knew the answer. I'm just making sure you still had the same one.
Yes, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
She wanted everybody else to hear it too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, you are. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, Miss Megan, how are you doing? How's ministry? How's life?
Everything's going really well. My 7-year-old son Caius just got baptized on Sunday. Woo-hoo. So that was amazing.
Oh,
praise God. He had a message for everybody when he got in the tank. He said, I want to say something to everybody. And you guys, like, you all have met him. You know, he's very reserved. He's very quiet. And I know he's got a call on his life to do some type of preaching or ministry, you know. But he just stepped right in there and he goes, and I have something I want to say to everybody. And I was just like, come on with it. Let's go. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. Come on. So, yeah.
Okay, what'd he tell them?
Yeah,
can't leave us.
He said, "I just want to tell you that you are all blessed and highly favored. And when you, he said, and you guys are good. And when you get, and he stopped because he was going to say older, but he stopped himself because he realized he was talking to people that were older than him. So he said that your hearts are just good and perfect." And then they were like, yeah, everybody's clapping for him. And he just, that was all he had to say, that you're blessed, highly favored. You guys will be good, and your hearts will be perfect. Right. And I was like, all right.
All right, preach.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, I was like, come on with it. Let's go. Praise God, yeah.
Amen. That's amazing. I love that little kid. He is so, He was really quiet at first. We pulled it out eventually. All right. Still, one of my favorite statements you had said was, I think he had went home after the women's conference here and said, that was a cool children's pastor or something like that. And I think I could have loved to have been a children's pastor. I wasn't good at the youth pastor thing, but I always loved being with the kids. Those, and they're a lot of fun. And we always love VBS here just for that reason. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he really connected with you really well. You got him to open up, and he just, the whole way home, he just kept saying, he liked Sensei Wilson. He loved Sensei Wilson. And I was like, there you go. Because I'm telling him, like, buddy, you're going to have to start opening up to people, you know, and just being a little, I understand you want to be reserved. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you need to start just kind of opening yourself up and you know, talking to people and all those things. And so I feel like step by step, day by day, he's been getting a little better with that. Yeah. And I'm just letting God do the work. You know, it's all in God's timing. So
it's so good, though, that you're speaking to him of it.
That's right.
You know, and he's learning at a young age, like you said, to open up. And, we've been talking about that this morning because it's so difficult when you're 60 years old and you've never done it.
Yeah.
You've never opened up.
Right, you know, and that's, I just ministered this to the boys yesterday because I've done Bible study with them, and I said, mommy gave herself to the Lord when she was 18 but fell away and followed, you know, the earthly things. And I said, when I was 31, almost 32 years old, I gave myself to the Lord fully. And I said, it was 32 years of habits that, you know, I've got to continue to put my flesh under. And, you know, when you get frustrated or mad, or maybe you blow your top and, you know, the old you wants to come out and wants to say those words that, you know, you shouldn't be saying because death and life are in the power of the tongue, you know, and what you speak you will have. And so I told him, I said, don't get those habits now. Let's start creating the good habits. So whenever you guys get older, you don't have 32 years worth of flesh that you have to put under every day because it wants to rear its ugly head or wants to try to come up. And so they were just looking at me like, okay mom, I'm like, you'll get it, trust me.
I will be speaking to you again about this.
I was like, just so you can raise your kids, like, I talked to them about their wives yesterday. I talked to them about how important it is to be praying for your wives and be, you know, asking God to mold you into the man for your wife, and you know, those things, and who God has created you to be, and to be, you know, molding you into his plan and purpose of what he has for your life, and start doing it now at this age so you can start walking those things out. Because, you know, the Bible says we call those things that be not as though they were. The Bible says that we can say to this mountain, be thy removed, cast into the sea, believe in your heart that what you say, you'll have what you say. And the Bible talks about how powerful it is, that our words are so powerful. So my job as a mom for my children is to speak words of life and encouragement and future to them, for them to look into the future and taking those steps into what God's wanting them to be like for their spouses or for people. And, you know, I really preach love, kindness, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit to them. And God is so good about giving me stories in the Bible to show them, you know, look what happens when you act in this way, and the mess that Jesus fixed for what, you know, he did. And just remember that when you get angry, you put your knife back in your sheath because you don't want to cut off the ear of someone and Jesus look at you and be like, this is not how we handle this. You know, let me take care of this. But, you know, you've got to learn to control yourself. You've got to learn that this is not who we are as a believer. So I preached that message to him just last week about, remember, put your knife up. When you take that knife out for the wrong reasons, you're causing chaos and a mess that you're going to have to clean up. And I said, and it's not worth having to clean it up. I was like, so when you start to feel that anger and you're grabbing that sword, just put it right back in the sheath. Take a second and just say, no, I'm going to do what Jesus did. He calmed the storm. You know, he walked in love. And so I just ministered that to them last week about that, because, you know, how little boys like to fight sometimes. So.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You're definitely saving them from years of things that they don't have to unlearn, because you're teaching them now.
It's
so
what,
good.
What you used to tell people, if you'll just listen to me, I can save you 10 years. You're saving your children years.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so important because you think back on your life. I mean, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, you know. I found out about God, you know, at school one morning. And I think there's a lot of times where maybe I make a mistake. You know, I get a bump in the road and I'm like, man, why is this still a problem? Well, because you're not putting your flesh under. Simple as that's what the Lord told me. He said, you're not, you daily, Megan, daily, you have to put your flesh under daily. Yes, the old you is dead and gone. But don't think the devil's not going to try to set traps to bring the old you right back up for everyone to see. Right. That's his goal. And so he's like, daily, I need you to remember to put your flesh under. And when those feelings or emotions start to come up that you used to be, you need to remind yourself, I'm not that anymore. I'm not going to act in that way. I'm not going to do that because I'm setting an example, not just for my children, but anyone I come in contact with.
That's right.
You know, we are representing Jesus, and it is our job to show Jesus. And this is not just something that we casually do. This is something we do every single day at home, you know, out in public, whatever. You have to do this all the time because it's who you are. Mm-hmm. And so there was one thing that popped up in my heart when I was listening to you guys talk where I was like, we cannot just let our relationship with Jesus be casual and be a checklist.
That's
and
right.
Be just this is what we do. We cannot do that. You are not reaping the benefits and the blessings that God has for you when you're being casual
that's
about
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, that's been something God's really been stirring in me, especially with the kids. You know, I'm home more since my accident. Doors are opening to go out and travel again, but I'm home more. So I just really have been hitting the nail on the head with, listen, guys, we are representations of Jesus in everything we do. And so whatever God tells me to teach them in that day and shows me in the word when I get up and read in the morning, I go to that and I'm like, listen, here's a lesson that I want to teach you guys today. And it's always based off of something I was trying to teach them yesterday. So it comes back into the day just to reiterate because, you know, we have to constantly be hearing and hearing. So we got to continue to reiterate and, you know, remind ourselves. So I don't know. God's just so good in everything that he does.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I was thinking, I was still looking for the scripture and I couldn't find it. But, you know, I actually have it. And I just don't have it memorized. But I have it taped up in my bathroom. So I see it a lot. And it says to make no provision for the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, that says that you know, I'm on purpose going to keep myself in a place where my flesh doesn't have an advantage.
Right.
And, you know, it's the only scripture I have taped up in the house, but it's one that, because Brother Ron used to say it all the time. Yeah, we don't have a devil problem; we have a flesh problem, because he's just after what he can use.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're all over the place all the time, you're the guy who pulls the sword out of its place and cut off an ear. That's how you respond to everything. Then that's just an area that he'll always be able to use.
Right.
It's
so
true. That's
make
so
no
true.
Provision for the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. Keeping the word before your eyes is one of the most important things, you know. That's one thing that I did whenever I got my accident. I had scriptures that I was standing on, you know, because I was like, I am not. I'm going to beat the odds. Anybody who knows me knows I'm going to beat the odds. I'm going to come back quicker than they say I'm going to. You know, that's just my mentality. I'm just one of those goers, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to stand on the word. If I can stand on the word for a cut, if I can stand on the word for my bills, if I can stand on the word for my health and all that stuff, then
right.
I'm going to stand on the word for my recovery. You know, we're standing on the word for every single thing in our life. Why? Because with every word, there's a promise connected to it. When we speak it and we stand on it and we don't look away from it, even if things around us try to get so loud and be like, it's not going to happen, Megan, it's not going to happen. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to stand on the word. God's going to do the work because I'm doing my part and I'm going to be out quicker. And listen, my recovery was supposed to be a 9-month process and I started walking in 4. So don't tell me God doesn't do what his word says he will do when you stand on it and believe it with all your heart.
There's the girl I remember right there. That's the girl I know. My goodness. She took off.
Praise God. Yeah. He will come through in his promises for you. Mm-hmm. If you will stand on them like he tells you to. He says to believe with all of your heart. deep down in your heart, believe it and speak it. And that's all I did. Even when the doctor would tell me, Megan, you're probably not going to walk yet. And I said, you know what, that's okay. Next time I come, I'll be walking. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to be walking before you tell me I'm going to be walking. I said, I promise you that. And he just looks at me and he goes, he just said it. He's like, just keep your faith, Megan, because I don't know if he's a believer or not. But, you know, I'm just like, I told him, I'm like, God's going to come through. He's going to come through. He knows that he has much for me to do. He's going to come through. And he did. He came through strongly. But the part that I love the most is even though I wasn't walking yet, I was able to be home and minister to my children and be who God wanted me to be to my children. And just spend that time growing my children in the Lord and showing them how to walk these types of things out in faith. And I just know it's made a huge impact on them, you know. So that was a blessing in itself.
I want to speak to that, what you're saying right there. It's so important that, you know, you believed God. You took him at his word. You held tight to it. Put your faith, all of your eggs were in one basket. And you weren't going to settle for anything less than what God had already said. And it's so, so great. But I want to bring it, shift it over into a place that we probably don't think about as much. And that's this place of walking in love with one another. Mm-hmm. And as we, you know, it's difficult when you start dealing with relationships. And we were talking about, you know, being in fellowship with one another today and how the relationships were supposed to continue. That is the mm-hmm. church. And mm-hmm. but anytime you put people together, there's going to be things.
Mm-hmm.
And so wonder what it would be like if we press toward God's word so strong just to love somebody. If we press toward the fact that he said forgive and we're going to do it no matter what. And we mm-hmm. pressed so hard toward that. As well as mm-hmm. what we do when we're trying to receive from God ourselves. There's still going to be a receiving going on. There's still going to be, because what are we going to get out of this? We're going to get out of, the number one, you're going to be doing the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be a motivator right there.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking as I was listening to you talk how so many times we don't put that kind of effort in the things of our dealings with other people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said you told your children was that we are representatives of Christ, you know, and I was thinking, what a high call that is, what a possible call, but also what a humbling call that is, that we are representing him in this earth. And again, how deliberate that statement is. It's not just a mm-hmm. kind of a floaty kind of thing. It's very intentional. It's very deliberate. Mm-hmm. And you know, what a calling to have on your life. I mean, the honor of that.
Yeah.
You know, the honor that he bestows on us to be in that position, to represent him. And how can you take anything lightly when he says this is who you are to be? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we reap what we sow. You know, we reap what we sow. And when we sow honor, we reap honor. When we sow mm-hmm. love, we reap love. You know, and it is a high honor to be a representation of the Lord Jesus and everything he's done. And it's not something that I take lightly in any situation. And that's something I'm teaching the kids is, you know, we have boldness and confidence to enter into the throne room of grace and mm-hmm. mercy because of what Christ has done for us and who we are in him. And so it's an honor to carry everything that the Lord wants us to carry and give out. And to piggyback on, you know, the love thing, well, I can go forever on that. But, you know, when I always heard my dad in faith said, a step out of love is a step out of God. If you're not walking in love, you're not receiving everything God has for you. Why? Because Jesus is love. He came to show us love. He came to give us the command to love one another. Just you know, if you go to Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just like God in Christ has forgiven us. And so the love of God is something that we have to represent. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I have always heard and I've always believed and I've stand in is if I'm walking in love towards somebody else, I'm not going to recognize that they're not walking in love towards mm-hmm. me. Why? Because I love them. And if they if they're not walking in love to me, and I'm walking in love to them, it doesn't matter. As long as you're doing your part and you're walking in the love of God and you're showing God's love to other people, it's going to make an impact whether you visually see it or not. Because the Bible says a kind word turns away wrath. So when we're walking in love and we're speaking words of salt that's going to season anything that comes into the mouth of the other person or into the heart of the other person, it's going to make an impact. Because I've witnessed this throughout things that my husband and I went through for 5 years. I can walk into a room with the person that had went against us and said horrible things against us, and I can have a conversation with that person, walk in love, and not have any ill feelings whatsoever. Why? Because that's what God commands us to do, number one. But when I freely forgive someone, the poison of what that person has tried to put in me is not going to define who I am and cause me to walk out of the love of God. So when you get in a position where you say and you make it stand that I'm going to be free, that's what Jesus did for you. I'm going to be free. I'm going to freely forgive for myself. God will take care of everything else. I have to make sure that I am right in everything that I do, whether somebody else is right to me or not. But we cannot walk in this world alone. You've got to have people, your four crazy face friends.
That's right.
But I'm telling you right now, I will make this statement. If you will walk in love and go in the scriptures and find out what the love of God truly is, get that deep down in your heart. Make it be a fruit that comes off of you that you can give to others to find out who God is and what his love is. You will not even recognize when somebody treats you unjustly or wrong. Why? Because you are doing what the Lord calls you to do, and you are loved just as Christ is loved.
That speaks to that. Right. I must be about my Father's business.
That's right. That
speaks right to it.
First John, he said, my little children, love not in word only, but in tongue.
Yeah.
Neither just in tongue. Don't just say it, but in deed and in truth. Why? Because hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. How many times have we believed God, and it's not that our hearts really have condemned us already, because we know that things are wrong between us and somebody. So those are fixable. Yep. Those are all things that can be changed today, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know who we're speaking to today, but somebody needs to be encouraged and press in to walk in this love that we're supposed to have for one another. Amen.
Yeah. Just flip the switch, y'all. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It is not a hard task. I mean, I know your flesh is going to want to make you go in a different way, but when you decide, I'm going to flip the switch of love on, I'm going to keep it on, I'm going to grow in it, I'm going to walk in it, because when you think ill will of somebody, if you think that somebody doesn't like you, you're thinking ill will of somebody else. So put that in your mind. Mm-hmm. If you think that somebody else does not like you, you are thinking ill will of them, which is putting you out of love. Mm-hmm. So you just go in and put it in your heart, and you walk in love no matter what, because we do it because that's what God tells us to do, and he calls us to be that. And that's the only thing that should matter, is what God calls you to do, tells you to do. It shouldn't matter what else goes on around us. We just do what he tells us to do. Why? Because there's blessings, there's provision, there's healing, there's all these things that are connected to walking in who God calls you to be.
Then you'll be full of blessed assurance.
Amen.
Multiplication and fruitfulness. Glory to God. Yeah, he's so good.
Well, Miss Megan, we got just a couple minutes left here. Any final words felt led by the Lord?
I just want to say that I love you guys, and I appreciate you and everything that you're doing. I really enjoy when I can get in the car and plug y'all in and listen to you guys every day that we do that. And I just pray blessings over this ministry. And I just pray provision and blessings and abundance in Jesus' name, growth. And I just thank you. I really do thank you at the bottom of my heart. I know y'all were praying for me when I was in my accident. And a ministry that is so far away that will come in agreement and pray for you is something that you cannot just forget or just take lightly. So I just want y'all to know that I'm very thankful for you, and I thank you for all God's doing in you and through you. And I just pray blessings over you in abundance, because I know God's doing a mighty work through you, and I'm just keep going, keep pushing. I thank you guys and love you.
Amen. We love you too, and we are always continuing to pray for you. And So many people love you tremendously here, Miss Megan. We're going to have to get you back up soon and
right.
do another yeah. women's thing is really quick. Continue to pray for us. We'll continue to pray for you. Yes. Amen.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, go ahead, Ms. G. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if we got enough time, I'd just like to pray right now.
Absolutely. Go
okay.
for it.
All right. Father God, I thank you for Megan. I thank you for her mm-hmm. faithfulness. I thank you for her desire and her drive to know you and to represent you. And Lord, as it spills over to her children, and she is actually getting to see the blessing of the Lord on her children. Lord, continue to use her as the leader and leading them to you, leading you to them. And Lord, I pray that her home will be full of testimony, full of rejoicing over what the Lord has done, mm-hmm. and that there will be a communion and a fellowship in their home that will spill out to others. And the church will continue right there.
Yes.
And bless the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody raising their hallelujah yeah. this morning.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise hallelujah. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Miss Megan, could you do me a favor?
Yes.
I'm going to get off with you on the air, but a little bit after 9, could you call back? And I have something to, I'm not really supposed to talk about the prayer request too much on air yet. Mm-hmm. But I would love to tell you about it so you can be praying into this as well. So, but if you could just call me back here, or I'll call you back as soon as I get off. Does that work?
Yeah, that works. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, Miss Megan. Thank you so much. God bless you. We love you. Yeah. And
good to be with you again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Love y'all.
Love you back.
Love you.
All right. There is a special prayer request that we do have, and I don't have permission to share it, and it involves a minor. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, that, but it's just a prayer request. So just pray. Just pray for healing and that would be the most tremendous thing you could do. And so, especially when it concerns a lot of things with, I always like to get people's permission before I go ahead and start
airing
stuff on air. So, I just want to say, you know, you can connect with us. It's one of those old school unspoken prayer requests, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of them, but I always like to get permission to have mm-hmm. that. So just there's just a special prayer request for us here that's so near and dear to the family here. And so, just believe for us for healing. The Lord will know exactly who, you are going to be praying for. And so, Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, y'all got any final words this morning?
What's my name?
Miss Jeannie.
The Lord knows my name.
The Lord knows my name.
Even if Aaron doesn't.
Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, I got you. Uh-huh. Raise a hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
Yes,
amen.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
We've got him trained now, don't we?
We're just getting started.
He's been wanting to do it all this time.
Yeah, that's really why we brought you back on, so I can just be with you all. Y'all seem like you have so much fun on there.
We do.
It's the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
All right. Well, God bless everybody. My computer is...
He is really... you want me to take over?
Yeah, you can. Because honestly, my
we are so glad that you've been with us this morning. This is Box 2 Radio, and you have been listening to Raise a Hallelujah.
Yeah, this is it is getting pretty serious right now because the whole computer just shut off on me.
No.
So praise God. It's going to come back on with 1 minute. I just feel it in my spirit because we have 1 minute left. We are.
You think the Lord knows what time it is, being he's not about that time?
Yeah,
he knows what we need.
Like at that moment, the computer literally just froze and just decided I'm going to restart myself.
Oh, wow.
But hey, God's good. God's good in it. That's why I was kind of a little bit distracted there. Mm-hmm. But to that person, I think maybe this is just the Lord's will on this. To that person, I still want to speak to, who is just living in a cave. Mm-hmm. Come out today in
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Maybe that cave is depression. Maybe that cave is isolation. Maybe that cave is, Miss Megan was saying, unforgiveness, of bitterness, of hate. You don't have to live there.
Or fear.
You do not. Come on out.
It's worth it. Yep. Come on out.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And why look for the living in the land of the dead?
Amen.
Come out and live among the living in Jesus' mighty name. Yes. We are praying for you. We are believing, God, for your breakthrough, for your coming out. And I just feel in my heart so heavy that there's somebody the Lord's just pulling out of your cave, friend. Mm-hmm. You've been in there way too long. Come out, eat a piece of cake with somebody. Take a nap, rest in the Lord, give yourself to prayer, and there's no telling what the Lord will do with your life.
That's right. That's right.
There's no telling. My computer's almost back on. I'm not stalling either. I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I don't know if I believe him.
I'm really not stalling. I felt that in my heart the whole morning.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, if there's one person who knows what the cave feels like, I get there.
Yeah.
And let me just say this real fast. Leaders, it's really easy for you to go to.
Yep.
And because you feel the pressure, you feel the weight, and it's like it's easier to recluse than it is to come out.
Amen.
Because nobody's supposed to see you messed up.
And
I mean,
you've got to.
Sometimes you don't even care if they see you or not. You just don't want to do it. I mean, you do care whether, but you're not gonna allow them to see anything.
The question, I guess, on the table is gonna have to be: do you care more about your reputation, or do you care about being free? It's one thing to say you're free. It's another thing to be free.
That's right.
The good thing is that when you come on out of there seeking freedom, your reputation will be freedom.
That's right.
Your reputation will be one who has been set free.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, we do love you all, and we do bless you, and we are praying for you. Come on out of that cave today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.